You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Our scripture reading will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 8 through the rest of the chapter. Sundays, we've been looking at the mystery and the other mysteries that Paul brings to light. The reason that this is so important to you and to me too is the fact that the mystery is the capstone of all that not only what Paul had to write, but of all writings. Let me make a statement to show you why this whole world is in the darkness, is in the night today. Since Paul, in the Colossian letter, which is one of the epistles of the prison letters, which contained the mystery, tells us in the first chapter, in verse 25, 26 through 28, that the mystery was given to him to dispense in order that the Word of God might be complete. That ought to tell you about a lot about people who are having these visions and so-called revelations today. We're told to try the spirits from whence they are. And so you see, it isn't a question of them not having these things happen to them. It's a question of from whence comes that energy. And as we move closer to the consummation of the ages, we will begin to see more and more of deception until finally it will be the religious world itself that puts the final stamp of approval upon the man of sin who is coming one day. Not real soon, like all of what it's hollering about, but it is coming. The world is being well prepared for it. And our lesson today will show us how to answer scripturally the overwhelming movement of a spirit that is permeating practically every denomination in the world, in the call Christianity. And that is, I have reference to these miracle movements that are supposedly moving in our midst through tongues and what have you, healings, prophesies, everything. And the whole world is going to be prepared through the religious world for the reception of the man of perdition, the son of the Antichrist, the man of sin, whatever you want to call him. The religious world is the people that are going to prepare him. You can holler, you know, wolf so many times until people don't pay much attention. And after 19 centuries of blindness, we have this parked upon us now, the imminent coming of the Lord. And in our lesson today, I think that the reason that this is covered up a lot by people, you know, love is the most overwhelming word in the English language, I guess. And this is a chapter of love, and so that's all you think about. In fact, the first three verses tell us what love is not. The next three verses tell us what it is. And now, finally, in the verse 8, it says, love never fails. Now, that ought to tell you something. If love never fails, and I believe that, look at all the people that are proclaiming about love and see how much it fails. Does it fail? In their context, it does, over and over again. But in the context of what God's talking about, it never fails. If the mystery is the completion of the Word of God, what it is saying in effect is, if you can imagine every electrical system in Oklahoma, all of its wires go into each house. It comes from a central point, you see. And you remove that central point, what have you got? Total darkness. And the mystery is something that I don't know the exact percentage, but I venture to say that 95% of God's people know nothing about it at all. And since we were ordained to be the light of the world, you see, we don't go to the center. Therefore, the energy that could be afforded the world is never known. And one of the darkest spots in our time is this religious upheaval about the supernatural miracles that are supposedly going on. Some of the big names that you look on television, I just noticed, and I don't want to misunderstand, Jimmy Swaggart does speak about the plan of salvation and does a good job. He's a good example of what I'm talking about. But he too proclaims this lie, and he too, I don't think he'll be here when the man of sin comes, because he's going to die for that. He's not going to live that long. And none of us are too. If you don't go out the underground, you go out in the out resurrection. But nevertheless, you won't be here when that happens. That's too far down the road. But the world's being prepared through this supernatural. And when he comes, man, he's going to call down fire from heaven. You know, if you go to a meeting where one of his ministers is talking in that day, and you object to it, if he calls down fire from heaven and wipes you away, how do you think the rest of the audience is going to feel? Everybody going to become a believer real quick. See? That's what he's going to do. They're being prepared for the supernatural. They expect it. But what saith the Lord? Love never fails, verse 8. Where there be prophecies, they shall become unproductive. That's really the force of the word there. Because they have no part after the word's complete. See? Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall likewise be unproductive. Why? Well, now keep in mind when this was written. That this writing, see, we know in part. That's why. And we prophesy in part. But when that which is mature, in other words, the language that will make a God's people mature, has come, then that which is in part shall be set aside. In other words, you may be proclaiming a truth prior to understanding the mystery. But once you know the whole truth, then that which is in part, if that's all you dwell on, becomes deceptive. It's run its course, you see. You can't bring it on over, and I'll show you why. Here's why. Notice he compares this time. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Why? You had partial knowledge. Now, I thought it. I understood as a child. That's the way Christians are thinking today. In the childhood part of Christianity. That's why they claim the wrong promises. They're all materialistic because they're this earth. That's the promises that most of God's people are claiming. And that's what Paul says in the Philippian letter. I tell you this weeping. They become the enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? And he goes on to tell you. Because their interest, their affection are all what? Earthly. Why wouldn't they be? If all the promises of God are earthly, why wouldn't they be earthly? But we've been called into the celestials, brother. And you better get that one straight. In the partial truth, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a mature man, I put away the childish things. For now, it is when he was writing this book, we see in a mirror hazily, just hazily. We don't see the whole truth, we just see partial. But then, when that which is perfect, back up in verse 10, when that has become mature, and I look at this is the mirror we're talking about right here. You look into it where it's hazily. You only see the childish aspect of things. But now when you become full-orbed, you have the whole truth, then what? What do you see when you look in here then? Well, you learn some things you didn't know before. Namely, that until you come to the full orb truth of God in the mystery, you do not have a statement to the fact that you're complete in Christ. You don't need anything else. Let me show you how important that is. Just yesterday, I was looking at a magazine and I saw an ad, Knights of Columbus, to write in to have purgatory explained to it. He says, in the article, he says, we understand that the Protestant world doesn't believe that there's a purgatory, but if you write in, we'll give you the reason for it. And they state it in a very capsule way. They say, well, there's thousands and thousands of God's people die every day who don't commit anything bad, but they still are sinners, and they have to have that purged. That's what purgatory means, a purging. But you see, if you get the mystery, you stamp that lie out in a hurry. Why? We're complete in Christ. Let me show you the importance of that word. In the same chapter where it speaks about us being complete in Christ, it's translated concerning Christ now, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It pleased the Godhead that in him all fullness should dwell. That's the same word. If Christ is not complete, then we're not complete. It's the same identical word. To deny your completion in Christ, to add something else, is to deny that Christ is complete. You see how important that is? Now, coming back to the text. Now, at writing this book, we see in this mirror very hazily, as a child, because we only have in part, you see. But then when it's complete, when I look into this book, I see myself as God sees me in the completed form. Why? Because I've died? You didn't know you were dead? Well, you are. God has no use whatsoever, that old man. And that fellow gives you all that trouble. And again, I call to your mind what Paul, when he discovered this, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from what? This body of death. And then God turns on the light, and he said, thank God. When you come to realize that everything is taken care of, can you imagine checking out of a large hotel and finding out you didn't have any money and you didn't have a bank account back home to draw on either? You got to go down and explain it to the man down at the checkout, and you go down there and you start telling your sad story, and he passes you a bill right out there, it's paid in full. What a relief. That's what the mystery does. It completes everything, you see. It answers all the questions. There's no question that can be answered in its finality and leave the mystery out. How dark is this little world? See, the most important truth for God's people has been hidden, set aside even before Paul died. And listen carefully. This thou knowest, that all those in Asia, this is the heart of Paul's ministry, have turned away from me. We've had 19 centuries of that traditions that have been carried over in the Petrine theology. I'm going to take next week to show you the battle between Peter and Paul. Did you know that that is a real battle in the scripture with him and James and the 12 apostles? And it wasn't until Peter was ready to die before he understood it himself. His last word to the church at that time was, you better listen to the wisdom that Paul had. It's hard to understand, but you better listen. Now, notice, we see in the mirror hazily, but then when this book is complete, you'll see it in a minute. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as I'm also known. And now abide, and emphasize, underscore these in your Bible, For now, that's the time he's writing, you can see only hazily. But then, when you have the thing complete, when it's mature, the perfect has been made perfect, then you can see in an adult, a mature way. In the meantime, now, as to the faith, when I can see it all, three things will abide. What had been abiding? Miracles had been abiding. The whole 12th chapter, of 1 Corinthians is taken up with what? The nine great miracle ministries of God. The 12th chapter. 13th chapter. And the last verse of the 12th chapter says, I show you the more excellent way. And right now, though, in the time in which we live now, what abides? Faith, hope, and love. At the resurrection, what will happen to faith? It'll be sight. What will happen to hope? It'll be realized. What will last? Love. See? Now, picture yourself, I don't care what church in Oklahoma City today, and I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm an advocate, a charismatic man, and I challenge the preacher to show me some scripture that will show that I'm not doing the right thing by practicing these things. What can the preacher show him? If he doesn't know the mystery, he doesn't acknowledge that there's been a dispensational change, as it is in Acts 28, what can he show him? He can give him a good logical argument. He said, well, that passed away when the apostles died. Show me where the scripture says it passed away when the apostles died. It isn't in there. Those are simple things, really, when you get right down to it. Now, last week we looked at a secret that was known before the mystery was given out, and Paul refers to it, 1 Corinthians 2, when he said the rulers of this world would not have crucified Christ had they known. Now, the verse that follows that says, but I had not seen, neither had heard, neither in the heart of man, the thing that God preferred with him and love him. So they come along and say, well, see, there's some things that God doesn't want us to understand. But they don't read the next verse. It says, but God now has revealed it unto us. It ought to infuriate you when you hear say, well, you can't know what that is. You know why they say that? They haven't gone... They haven't rightly divided the scripture to set up the change of administration. They say, oh, there's mysteries all over the Bible. Yeah, there are. Well, last week we saw also the gospel of Paul. Paul's my gospel, which was a secret that had been hushed up. We also saw, you remember, the mystery of iniquity. Incidentally, that mystery is going to be the thing that seals the eyes of this old world. And it began to work in the days of Paul. He makes mention of that in 2 Thessalonians. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians just a minute. Spend a little time on that again. That's so important to you because chapter 2. Little background is Paul had, in the first chapter had announced the mystery. I mean the rapture, you know, people keep talking about today. And the imminent coming of the rapture. And the setting of this second letter is written about 6 months after Paul left Thessalonica. He wrote the first letter back to encourage him with the rapture. Now he writes the second letter from Corinth. And he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, the parousia. Here's what the apostles ask him, what shall be the sign of thy parousia? And are getting together unto him. Here's the rapture. Now somebody, in the meantime, between the first and second letter, it's obvious in verse 2, had come and had made these statements. So don't be soon shaken your mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. the day of the Christ is present. Let no man deceive you this way. Why? Except there come the apostasy first, and that man of sin be unveiled, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now remember, look at verse 5 particularly. I want you to look at this and underscore this in your Bible. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now keep in mind, it's only been 6 months about since Paul was there. He warned them at the time. Somebody will come along and say something contradictory. And they had. They'd come along with teaching. The rapture's already come. You fellows are just lost. You're going to hell. Paul said, I warned you about that. Don't you remember? I talked to you about this. And I said that to say this. There's no way there can be a falling away by the nation of Israel, and that's who's being addressed, unless they have light. And they've been in darkness for 19 centuries. They've got to be enlightened in order to fall away. You see? And we know who's coming to do that, don't we? That's what they ought to be thinking about. Because the minute that happens, the dispensation that we live in will be over. It'll be through. So all you read about in the Revelation that everybody's concentrating their mind upon is trying to find out who the Antichrist is. Well, they're going to find out, all right, but it won't be revealed to them until when? First the apostasy, and then they'll notice one day, just 3.5 years before Christ really comes to this planet, man sitting in the Holy of Holies on Mount Zion. Not in the temple, but in the tabernacle of David. See, they got to have that temple to make there. They don't have to have the temple. Because the man of sin is not going to be sitting in the temple. He's going to be sitting in the tabernacle of David. See, you gloss over those things if they weren't in the Bible. These are all markers of time. The man of sin will come as Christ. He'll be Antichrist, but he'll sit in that temple as God. Why? Because 3.5 years before he's exposed, he will sign a covenant with restored Israel. And the apostasy will begin. See? Now you say, well, I know Israel's got to be restored. Now, 6 months later, just like the Thessalonians, somebody comes along and says, well, why does Israel have to be restored, you know? You should be able to tell him. But before you open your mouth, he drops a ball of fire. Are you going to be brave enough to face up to that reality? It's why it's important that these truths of God need to be burned into your heart and mind, your personality, so that there can be no question about it. That you are complete in Christ. Everything God has spoken, he is not going to speak again. That's what the mystery means. It's complete. If it's not complete, Christ is not complete, because the same identical word is used concerning him. And we're certainly looking to him, because that's what we look on at wall. He's our mediation. If we don't have a complete mediator, then he can't mediate with God. He can mediate with us, but he couldn't mediate with God unless he's complete. No man can see God and live. But one is sitting there. And he's our head. He's our mediator. He's the one that gives us assurance because he's complete. He's the complete God-man. And if that bothers you, it should bother you. And that's why Paul says, without controversy, great is this mystery, that God is manifest in the flesh. We don't just have a God in heaven today, we have a God-man there. one who is the very God, one who is man, very man. It's the only type of a creature that could mediate between God and man. And the beautiful thing about it is, we've been raised and see together whereabouts with him in this very location. That's why Philippians tells us that our citizenship is whereabouts? In the heavens, where Christ is seated now. Somewhere in this series, we're going to deal with really the out-resurrection. I think we can really deal with it now and be sure of what we're talking about. But I want to get some other lessons in there prior to that. And the things we're going to be dealing with over these next few Sundays, Lord willing, if I'm still here, I begin to wonder this morning whether I'm going to make it or not. But I'm trusting the Lord with that because I want to get this series back at me. At the same time, I'd like to get this work out on the chronology before I pass these ways. And you know, I want you to think about this. Now, I'm not playing games because for this reason, my last move is in the board now, and it's almost time for checkmate. And it is written, by my words I will be justified, and by my words I shall be condemned. I can't put it off, you see. I can't give an excuse because I'm claiming, whether right or wrong, that I've got the whole ball game out on the table there, every bit of it. And like Paul of old, I feel just as sure as he did when he wrote in 2 Timothy, I've fought a good fight. It's been uphill all the way upstream. I've almost finished. I can't say yet I haven't finished, but Paul said I've finished my course. And there awaits me, what? Yeah, but that's true too. But the great thing is not that, the epiphany, which is his divine intervention. And he's going to turn me loose. That's the word used there. On the luo, he's going to turn me loose. And I'll fly away. I tell you, that's what the hope is. That's what it means when it speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, hurriedly, but turn to Colossians just a minute. To show you what I've been talking about is very real. First chapter, verse 25. Paul said, I'm made a minister according to dispensation, or the administration. That'll help you a little bit better, I think. Our dispenser, administrator, which God gave to me for you. Now keep in mind who this is addressed to. It's addressed to the Gentile nations. And what's it given to us for? This is the word pleromo. Now you'll find this word there. You'll find it in the same chapter now, verse 19, the word fullness. Please the Godhead, in him is Christ, all fullness should dwell. You'll find in verse chapter 2 and verse 9, in him Christ dwelleth what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Same word we got here in verse 25. You see, it's the completion. And verse 10 is translated complete. When it speaks about us, you're completing. Four times right here in two chapters the word appears. It's the Greek word pleromo. It's a circle, what it is. When you draw a circle, what can you add to it? It's a circle, it's a circle, it's a circle, it's a circle. It means to fill it to the full, it lacks nothing. Now, this administration given to Paul was to fill to the full the Word of God. What is it? Verse 26, the mystery. Which have been hidden what? And these have done, the word ages there has a definite article in front of it, so does the word generation. Hidden from the ages. What are the ages? That means all of it. The generations, that's every generation. There's no generation, there's no age that ever had a part in this, as far as knowledge is concerned. That is the completed word. But now, here's one of those buts you underscore it. But now is what? Is made manifest to who? It's available for him, isn't it? And what is it? To whom God would make known what is the riches, and boy, it is rich, of the glory of this sacred secret. Where is it? Is salvation of the Jew in this context? It's among us, Gentile dogs. We hold the keys to the oracles of God, and we've dispensed them very poorly. That's why the whole world is dark tonight. If we had taken care of our job, the fact that we were ordained to be the light of the world would have been true. But like Israel, who messed up, we messed up too. We can't. I know some people say, if I'd have been living in that day, knowing the Old Testament, I wouldn't have rejected Christ. See? You're living in a time, just like Paul, 6 months before he wrote that Second Thessalonian letter, he had told them to warn them about it. Somebody come along and said something different. Now they're all confused. Beloved, don't be confused. Let the Word of God burn in your mind and heart. It's what you're going to be. When you see Him, you're going to be like Him, Christ. You better begin to think like He does. See? Notice, this is made complete. Keep on now. I want you to see this. This is the Word of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, here's why Paul, notice the burden on his mind. Who we preach, that is this mystery, this glory, this that are talking, warning every man, teaching every man in all, not some wisdom, all wisdom, that we may present every man, look at that word. Remember back in 2 Corinthians? The word perfect, same word here, is teleos, to bring him to fruition, his maturity. See that? Now you don't have to be a theologian to understand that language. It's go back to Corinthians again. It says we know in what part, but when that which is perfect, teleos. This here Paul says the mystery is given to what? We present every man what? Teleos. Mature, perfect. Use your own English word, but don't lose what's being said. You see? Is there anybody that doesn't understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
well, I really know that's so important because time is fleeting, and Tommy's going to have to take this load one of these days. You're going to have to be patient with him. He's a good student, but he's young, and so he's working, huh? Yeah. And so you got to keep that in mind, beloved. And the fact is that if you don't understand anything I say, please don't be bashful about it. Let me know. Because, as I say, time is running out. And I don't want anybody to ever be misled by me in what I'm saying. I want to make it just as plain. If it cuts across your mind, I'm tickled to death, it does. And maybe disturbs you. I hope you're disturbed enough to really get in there and find out for yourself. As Jim said to me one day, he said, well, are you going to back me up there, Mac? I said, no, I'm not going to. You're going to do your own backing right up there. You're going to answer yourself, not me. So don't blame it on me. Say, well, that's what Max said. That doesn't hold any water at all. But if the Word of God says it, then you better listen. So you see, beloved, when somebody, the reason this is important to you because you can't argue this case about the supernatural happening today. It evidently is. There's too many people being swayed by it. Is permeating all of religion. Supernatural. And God is dealing today what? in sovereign grace. You see, beloved, God, what that means to you is this. God doesn't have to do anything. He hasn't got any promises to fulfill except what he said to you, and that's all. And he's told you simply that those things are set aside. You better believe that. Even if they do call down fire from heaven, you just simply say, well, that was duplicated by Elijah. In fact, the matter is, if he were here, he'd probably put you to sleep too. You can be, what can he do? He can call down fire, wipe you out too, if God allows it. I believe if you stand under those circumstances, I don't believe God will allow it. He might. It wouldn't make much difference one way or the other. Get your affections on the right places. Like the old boy said in the Mayflower donut shop, as you travel, get your eye on the donut. Don't look on the hole. See? That's what can count. Well, our time's gone again. But I want you to see again, all the things we're going to be dealing with these next few Sundays is keying on the mystery, no question about that. But we've looked at the mystery of iniquity. We looked at the mystery that was hidden intentions of God concerning the crucifixion. See, if man had known that God had said that Christ was going to be crucified on a Roman cross, they wouldn't have done it. They'd have messed it. They'd have messed up God's plans, you see. So his intentions were hidden. It did not mean that they were less guilty. They were as guilty as everything. But man doesn't like to do what God says. He'd rebel against that even. See? Now the devil wouldn't have energized him to put Christ on the cross. But he didn't know he was going to be crucified either. As we saw in the mystery of iniquity, ever since the resurrection, Satan has had to have his man of sin ready. Because he don't know when Israel is going to be restored. He knows it's going to be restored. That's why in the mystery, notice in chapter 3 and verse 10, the whole angelic world is paying attention to what's being said now. They're learning. Ephesians 3:10, don't forget that. So, if you mislead the angelic world, there's no need for you to. But when they see these people talking in tongues, they must really be confused by the hear. When they hear this and then see that, well, Father, thank you again for the word. And we do pray that the Holy Spirit be pleased to use what we've talked about and that it will fall on sober ears to help men to contemplate his life is but a vapor. It's gone. And thank God that to a better thing to those who are in Christ. Burn this into the mind and personality of every individual here with a heart of gratitude. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.